97.5 The Fanatic.
We're back from San Francisco. The Vikings and 49ers tied at 7 apiece. How did they score? Well, Kirk Cousins just hit Stephon Diggs 41 yards and a touchdown pass to tie the game up. Niners drove down the field kind of unceremoniously, and Garoppolo was a short pass to Bourne for 3 yards and a touchdown. Robbie Gould, the extra point. 7-7 right now, 1:49 left in the first quarter. I believe Steve Callis, we had him on at around 3:40. He did a comprehensive and exhaustive analysis of all four games today. I believe he liked the Niners in this game. But if you want to hear more or read more on Steve Callis, he has a new page on Facebook called Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis, K-A-L-L-A-S. It's great. Again, if you want to hear more of what you heard earlier today, you can do that by listening to this show, because he's on quite frequently, or go to his Facebook page, Speaking of Sports with Steve Callis. Great stuff. He writes articles. He breaks down games. Analysis by Callisis or something like that. I forget his little catchy phrase, but it's cool. So check that out. Again, he went through all the games. I believe he likes Minnesota with Kirk Cousins and whatnot, which we both do. We've both been on Kirk Cousins' bandwagon, but I think he likes the Niners to win the game outright. He didn't do points. He just did outright. He likes the Niners to win the game. I actually like Minnesota to win this game. I had the Niners going to the Super Bowl the whole way earlier in the year, because I think they were a juggernaut, but I don't like the way they played in the second half of the season. I'm certainly taking the points and the Vikings in this one, and I think they may be that team to go to the Super Bowl. We shall hear. Okay, I got breaking news, and breaking news. Ooh, this is a sad story. This is very sad. My wife is taking down our Christmas decorations as we speak. Can you believe that? Taking down the Christmas decorations. It is January like 11th, and she's taking down the garland, the trees. The house looks so much better with Christmas lights abound. All these life-size Santa Clauses are going. I'm going to go home. It's going to look like, you know, middle of March. So anyway, that's what I have to look forward to going home. Wife is taking down the Christmas decorations, but we still have some football left. We have this weekend, we have next weekend, then a weekend off, and then the Super Bowl in Miami. Who's going to be there? Niners, Vikings, Seahawks. By the way, that Facebook page, you're going to go to the page, but it's actually a group. It's a group, Callis Analysis. Yeah, I messed that up. It's Callis Analysis. You can hear more of Steve, what you heard today. I know Jimmy from Mount Holly was enjoying what he heard, because if you're a betting man, he certainly gives it to you. And he wasn't handicapping the games. He was just breaking down what each team is going to throw out there today. Minnesota just 10-6 this year. Frisco 13-3. They did struggle a little bit. I don't know if you call it struggling, but down the stretch a little bit. And of course, they lost some close ones. They lost that game to Russell Wilson in overtime earlier in the year at San Francisco. And they won the game in Seattle when the runner was stopped like a half inch short of the goal line. So, again, Niners and Vikings today. And then what do we have this afternoon? We have Tennessee. Tennessee is playing Baltimore this afternoon. We'll see if those Ravens are the juggernaut that they've appeared to be early in the year when they were just rolling folks. And Lamar Jackson, probably the MVP of the year. He played last year. I'm sorry, I was looking through some information I was just giving. That's why I was hesitating. He played last year against the Chargers in the playoffs in the first game. I guess it was the wild card round. The Chargers had a nice year. Phil Rivers, you know, his Chargers, they never win anything. I know people are like, yeah, Phil Rivers is a Hall of Famer. Really? He's got a lot of numbers. His team's never won anything. I have nothing against him. I like him. I would have loved it if he was quarterback in my team for 13 years or however many he played. But they don't win anything. Well, anyway, last year, they get into a game with the Ravens, and they're routing them. I mean, this was in Baltimore, too. I think Baltimore might have been the favorite. I don't remember. But this game was over. It just hadn't ended for like three quarters. It was like 22-3, some weird numbers. Like 22-3, Chargers were leading. And with like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter, you know, you're turning your channel, you're going to get your food for the next game. And, you know, Jackson starts bing, 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 bing. You know, this wasn't necessarily garbage time either. You know, there's still 8 minutes left. They were down 18, so you needed three scores, but it wasn't really garbage time. He threw two touchdown passes in about 5 minutes. They weren't big strikes, but they moved the team down the field, did it with his legs as well when San Diego kind of fell asleep. I'm like, I wonder if this kid can play. He was horrible before that. He was horrible. He's certainly meeting all the projections that a lot of folks had for him. He can only run. This guy can't sling it. Just a running quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And I'm wondering, I'm like, I don't know about this kid. He had a nice fourth quarter. It looks like he's just starting to pick up the game. It took him till the fourth quarter. And that's fine. He came in for Flacco, you know, a few games earlier. It's not like he had the whole season to learn how to play. But again, speed is so fast at this level. It looks like he kind of caught up with it midway through the fourth quarter. Well, I certainly didn't expect the jump that he had to this year. He was just something else to watch, and it was every game. Every game, three touchdowns. He ran for 87 yards, ran for two more. It was kind of like the phenomenon that was Patrick Mahomes in his first season where he threw 50 touchdown passes. He was like the it guy. You wanted to watch Lamar Jackson or see what he did after your game was over. Anyone who picked him in a fantasy league, you know, should be given the crown just for picking him and having a guy on your team that, in terms of a two-way player, I've seen running backs quarterbacks faster than him. I think Kyler Murray might be a little faster, but he is so elusive and his body control is so ridiculous, and he can throw the ball a mile too. He just flicks it. It's like Michael Vick used to like flick his wrist. You see other guys like laboring on Chad Pennington, laboring to throw a 25-yard out. Vick used to just flick his wrist. Well, that's kind of what Lamar Jackson does. Bing, bing, bing. And he's so accurate this year in that team. John Harbaugh looking for his second Super Bowl. He was a special teams coach here. He was like nothing here to Andy Reid. He was a special teams coach. I shouldn't say nothing. He was one of the assistants. That's great. But he must have blown them away in Baltimore with his interview because he gets the job, wins the Super Bowl in 2012, and has always had this team, you know, pretty much in the mix, except about 3 years ago they were having some downtime. There was talk of him getting whacked, which I thought would have been ridiculous. You know, sometimes coaches wear out their welcome. The message doesn't get through after a while. Andy Reid did it here 14 years. It was done. It's not like he became a terrible coach. Just that the message wasn't good, getting through anymore. They needed a fresh voice. Well, Harbaugh still has some years left in Baltimore because that is some team I'm interested to see. Because playoff, you know, it's a different story. It's a different ballgame in the playoffs. I'd like to see how he performs today in his second playoff game against a team that, you know, really, I know New England had been struggling. I know since they were 8-0. They've been struggling. They went 4-4 after that. 4-4 after starting off at 8-0. And Brady wasn't Brady this year. And there was talk of him, oh, he's done, he's 42, blah, blah, blah. He's missed a lot of open guys. He didn't have a lot of guys to throw to this year. And I know you can say that, well, he hasn't in the past either. But that defense looked like it might have been the best defense of all time for the first 8 games. People would say, well, they didn't play anyone. They hardly beat anyone. They beat like Miami, you know, the Jets. Maybe Buffalo, and Buffalo wasn't all that great at the time. Well, that obviously had something to do with it because they were not the same team in the second half, and they had a chance to lock down a bye at the end of the year. They beat the Dolphins by like 45 points earlier in the year, second game of the season, something like that. They lose to the Dolphins in Foxborough. Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, throws that touchdown pass with a few seconds left, knocks them out of the bye situation. Now they got to play a home playoff game. And Tennessee went in and did their thing. Derrick Henry, 182 yards, ran all over them. Ran all over them. Tannehill had a pretty decent game. And, you know, that's it. We'll see what happens with Tom Brady. But mark my words, he's not done. He's got some years left in him. at least three, and I think some productive years left in them, too. You're not going to see New England just tank. You're not going to see them tank. I think they're going to be very competitive for the next 3 years, although this might be the beginning of the end of the dynasty. Sometimes you don't usually see dynasties just fall off a cliff and get truncated. You rarely see dynasties just end. They kind of like start going downhill, and you'll notice it. You know, this year they lost in this round. This year they lost in the previous round. This year they didn't quite get to that round. It's like, remember the Phillies and their dynasty? They win a World Series in 2008. They lose the World Series in 2009. They lose the NLCS the next year. They lose the NLDS the next year. Next year, they don't make the playoffs. The Phillies did it right. I mean, that dynasty, if you will, kind of slid down perfectly. Every year, a different round. It seemed like every year, too, they were getting better and better on paper. But again, games aren't won on paper. Let's go to Chris in Springfield on 97.5 The Thunder. What's up, Chris?
What's up, bro?
How you doing, man?
Not too bad, man. Question for you. I'm trying to see if this makes me a crazy person. Sports Illustrated did an article impressed by Carson Wentz being so heroic, saying that he has a concussion.
Yeah, I mentioned that earlier. Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know if that makes me crazy or a sicko, but that's like gets me the wrong way. I don't know why it does. Is that wrong?
It's not heroic. Heroic's the wrong word.
Heroic's definitely the wrong word, right?
I threw that out to my wife, of all people, and she's like, that's not the right word to call that. I was just like, you're right. Something's weird about that. It wasn't heroic. How is that heroic?
Heroic definitely would have been getting back on the field, correct?
Heroic, to me, would have been back on the field and playing. Yeah, playing, playing the game, not knowing who he played last week and winning the game would have been heroic. But I don't think it was heroic. It might have been commendable, maybe that's the word, from the NFL standpoint, because they want guys who have possible concussions to be looked at in the medical tent, not be going back out on the field because of all the danger that comes from concussions. But I don't think he had a choice, to be honest. He didn't know what was happening, and he didn't know who they played the week before.
Did they come out and say that he didn't know who they played the week before?
Did not know who they played the week before. Yeah, he was off. He was off. In fact, he went over to McCown and said, I don't feel right. He obviously didn't feel right. When you get your head banged around, you start feeling nauseous, you know. But he didn't know. He didn't really know what was going on in the game, and he didn't know who they played last week. So he was.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes it a little different.
Yeah, I still don't think it's heroic, but it can call it commendable. Commendable. I personally would like to see him finish the game. No, I'm just kidding.
One more thing.
Go ahead.
If you got a second, I was like row one, section 117.
Yeah.
This didn't get on SportsCenter or anything. Like Jadeveon Clowney came out after at halftime and was pointing at his head and taunting fans, but pointing literally at his head.
Who Clowney did?
Yeah, saying that, saying basically he knocked Carson Wentz out of the game.
Where did you hear this?
I seen it with my eyes. Like I was literally I was actually row three, section 117.
And Clowney came out of the tunnel for second half.
Yeah, when he came out of the tunnel halftime, when he came back out, he was pointing at his head and lifting his arms up like a let's go kind of thing. And all the fans around in my section were booing and cussing, of course. And he kept pointing at his head like, who, me? And
so he wasn't pointing at his head signifying I gave him a concussion. He was like, what, me?
Yeah.
Why are you hating on me?
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Well, I appreciate the call, Chris. Thanks for chiming in on this beautiful, beautiful spring weekend in January. It is January, what is it, the 11th? The 11th of January already. So, yeah, I didn't see that. You know, that's fine. You know, it's fine. It wasn't like pointing out the fact that he gave him a concussion, which is, I thought, what he did at first. He was just razzing with the fans. I probably would have stayed away from that. You know, who me? Why are you booing me? What did I do? If I really knocked the other quarterback out of the game and it looked like it was a serious thing, I probably would have stayed away from that. But yeah, he is what he is, and I would have liked to. And again, I was clamoring for them to get him midway through the season when he said that the three teams he wanted to go to when Houston was looking to get rid of him, two of them, one was Seattle, where he ended up, and one was Philadelphia. And it turned out at the end of the day, Seattle gave up two linebackers. Both were backups and a third round pick. You're telling me the Eagles couldn't give up that with so many holes in their pass rush? I know. They didn't want to pay him. They didn't want to pay him the $10, $12 million he was making last year. And then he would be a rent-a-guy, right? He'd be like a rent-a-defensive end because at the end of the year, you got to sign him again or he's out, you know, he's fair game. But for what they gave up a third round for Golden Tate, like a legitimate third round pick for Golden Tate. They knew he was a rent-up, but they were trying to win. He even said this. Howie Roseman said, we were trying to win right away. That tells me that he didn't believe this team was ready to win this year. Certainly with not the team you put together, my friend. Not the team you put together. Hey, Connor Thomas, you've been all quiet and doing a good job back there. Let me get your thoughts on. Well, first of all, let's do this. The Twitter poll I threw out there today, the question was, how would you characterize this Eagles season? A, mildly entertaining. Two, was it mildly entertaining? What was it?
So our Twitter poll, the four options were mildly stimulating.
Mildly stimulating, then entertaining, and then gratifying, and then unwatchable. And let's go over that again. It was mildly stimulating was A, entertaining was B, gratifying was C, and D was unwatchable. What do we got right now?
Yeah, we had an actual slight shakeup that I think you might be surprised in. Still leading the way is mildly stimulating with 52% of the vote. In second place still is entertaining at 25.1%. Unwatchable actually jumped up into sole possession of third place.
Wow.
12.7% of our nearly 300 voters say that the season was unwatchable. And then gratifying brings up the rear with 10.2%.
Really? To me, it was between mildly stimulating and gratifying. I was kind of at the end of the year, I knew they weren't going past today's round. I was disappointed because I thought they left the game on the field. I thought they left a victory on the field. Not their fault. Wentz got hurt. You know, you can't ask a lot from a 40-year-old guy. But I did say earlier, there's one thing you can't do. You just cannot do. I don't care if you're 40 years old or if you're a rookie. You cannot take a sack on that fourth down play. You have to give your receivers a chance, any chance, to catch the ball. You cannot take a sack. And unfortunately, I know he's running on one leg, but he took a sack there. But anyway, I thought it was pretty gratifying considering where they were after the Miami game at 5-7 to reel off four wins. I get it against like 3-4 win teams like the Giants and the Redskins, but they beat Dallas. That was a big win at home on national TV, knocking off the Cowboys, basically knocking them out of the playoffs. Coming back the next week, going up to the Meadowlands, winning that game after being tied 17-17 in the fourth quarter, and getting into the postseason, getting into the dance. To me, I thought that was, considering where they were, I thought it was gratifying. Just like the year before, I thought it was kind of gratifying. It's 6-7, watching bad football. The never nervous Nicky comes in, reels off three major wins, won the first one in L.A., beating a very good Ram team, a team that would go to the Super Bowl. Next, they knocked off a Houston team that had won 10 of 11 games, and then they took care of the Redskins, and then they go into Chicago and beat them, and they almost beat New Orleans. To me, last year was somewhat gratifying as well. I thought this year was gratifying as well and mildly stimulating. Connor, what do you got, bro? What would you characterize? Oh, Connor's on the phone right now, so I'll filibuster until he's ready to talk. Again, I would go one of those two. Was it entertaining? You could throw in entertaining here and there. Down the stretch, there were some entertaining moments, but as a whole, it was not an entertaining year. Not an entertaining year. There were moments, and unwatchable. If they tanked the last four games of the year, I would call it virtually unwatchable. Because the first 12 games of the season, you know, except the Bills and the Packers game, it was hard to watch, man. Hard to watch this offense, even when they were healthy. You know, Deshaun goes out game one, he's out for the rest of the year. And then to watch the guys they had left, it was tough. It was watching an already injured animal getting run over by a truck. That's how bad it was watching this team until game 13, I guess, when he kind of turned it around. Even that first half of football was unwatchable. They put up 3 points against the Giants. Anyway, I'm sorry, I'm done filibustering. Connor, how would you characterize the season?
Yeah, I would go with mildly stimulating. I'd agree with half the people in our poll. There were points of this year that got me going a little bit. Carson down the stretch at the end. There were a couple games going into Green Bay and beating Aaron Rodgers, something I think no one had done until that point, considering the circumstances in primetime on Thursday night.
Right, sure.
Going into Buffalo and beating that team pretty soundly. They turned out to be a playoff team in the AFC. But it never really got me past that point. There was never really that hope of the Super Bowl for me, because we saw from probably about week 4 or 5 that this wasn't a Super Bowl team. Everything we got after that, it stimulated me a little bit. It got me a little bit excited. But at the end of the day, that's all this season really was when you look back on it. We knew the prospects by the time we saw this team fall apart in like week 5, week 6.
Yeah, I think we knew it was coming. And it's a shame, because I think it took a while for people to kind of absorb the shock of not being a Super Bowl team. We kept thinking, well, next week. Well, next week they'll be right. Well, next week they'll be right. And Vegas did, too. Vegas kept putting them as, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7-point favorites over whoever. And I'm like, oh, Vegas has this wrong, man. They got this way wrong. But so you go mildly stimulating. Interesting. And what did you think about the Seattle game? Do you think they could have won it if Wentz stayed healthy?
I don't have any doubt. I mean, you saw what McCown did. He had, what, 3, 4 trips into the red zone,
yeah,
led his team down?
Yeah, he did.
Wentz, over the past 3 years in the red zone, 60 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's been lights out from inside the 20-yard line.
He's lights out.
And you're telling me with Carson in there, as opposed to a 40-year-old Josh McCown on one leg, there's not plays that Doug had for Carson that he's not running with Josh McCown? I'll never believe that. There's part of the playbook that goes out the window when Carson goes down.
Sure.
The mobility's gone. The chemistry between the targets. I mean, Carson had to develop that with the practice squad guys. So absolutely, in my mind, Carson going down cost the Eagles that playoff game.
All right. Well, that is unfortunate, because I think the same thing. And, you know, if he doesn't get injured there, we might be talking about the Eagles in a playoff game today. All right. Got to take another break. I'm Joe Stajak. I'm here till 6 o'clock tonight. That was a great Connor Thomas. If you want to talk to me, you got to talk to him. He's the gatekeeper. And we're at 97.5, the Fanatic.
97.5. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
All right, welcome back to the show. Joe Stajak here. Here till 6 o'clock. D-line them. Devon Givens take over at that time, taking you right up to Sixers pregame. They're in Dallas tonight. Take on the Mavs. Couple coaching changes. Well, at least dismissals. Mike Groh, the offensive coordinator, I know that, I'm sure that made a lot of people happy, because they were calling for his head this year and lamenting the fact that Frank Reich is now coaching the Colts. And basically, and I've said this too, the offense hasn't been the same since Frank Reich took that job. So having said that, there's also Carson Walsh, the wide receivers coach. Now, the wide receivers were having an awful year, even when they were healthy. There were a lot of dropped balls. I don't know if you can fault your wide receiver coach on that, but he was asked, Doug Peterson was asked in his post-game, post-year press conference, what he thought of the job that Mike Groh and Carson Walsh had done this past year.
I think both those guys did an outstanding job for me this year. There was a lot of things we faced offensively, as you know, through adversity, through injury, through many different, I think, facets of trying to get the pieces together. And so my hat goes off to both of those gentlemen.
All right, so he gave them a vote of confidence. This was the postseason press conference. All right, this was after the season, and he was asked about the offensive coordinator and the wide receivers coach. He said, yep, they'll be back. Thought it did a great job, blah, 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 blah. And then he would not commit to Jim Schwartz. The scribes were peppering him about Jim Schwartz. He would talk about the opportunities that he has, what a great job he did, blah, blah, blah. And he just wouldn't say, yeah, he'll be back too, like he did for Carson Walsh and for Mike Groh. So someone asked him again, well, timeout. you said that Carson Walsh and Mike Groh will be back.
Listen, I know what I said, okay? But at the same time, I'm still evaluating the whole process, right? And I'm going to continue to evaluate and assemble the best staff moving forward. But currently, yes, they're still here.
Okay. Well, they were there for about 9 minutes because they're not any longer and still looking for a wide receivers coach and an offensive coordinator. Which brings us to a potential candidate. His name is Deuce Staley. One of the top running backs this franchise has seen. Played back in the day, played in the Super Bowl era. And I'm going to throw it to my producer first and get his thoughts on Deuce Staley, who's been the running backs coach. And he was passed over for the offensive coordinator job when Mike Groh got it a couple of years ago. I'm going to ask Connor Thomas, what do you think about Deuce as the OC?
Yes, I love Deuce. I mean, as any Philly fan should. He was a staple here when he played. He's been great here as a running backs coach. As an offensive coordinator, I'm not sold on him yet. I don't fully know his role in the organization, what he handles in day-to-day work and everything. But when you have opportunities to bring in a guy like a Jim Caldwell, who's been a head coach other places, I love, and I was on talking with Rob Motti right before you got on, about how I love head coaches coming on and being coordinators. The relationship with the head coach is more understanding, in my opinion, and it works out better as a whole for the staff. It's a lot better put together staff when they have knowledge of those higher positions, like a head coach role or having been a coordinator previously. In this situation, I'd rather have someone more proven than Deuce. As much as I love what he's done, I don't think he's ready for the jump yet.
What about Press Taylor, who was the quarterback's coach for Carson Wentz? Any promotion from within, or do you want to see them go outside?
I think for two reasons they'll have to do an outside hire. One, they haven't really proven since Frank Reich left that they have the ability to put together a solid offensive game plan with who they've had in the building. And two, just from a fan base point of view, I think it would leave a little bit of a sour taste in people's mouth if they promoted from within, considering the offensive struggles that they had over this past year. I think an outside hire, a fresh breath of air, would be better for the organization from scheme-wise and as well from a fan base point of view.
See, I agree with you. I agree with you because the philosophy's already in place and they're not performing all that well. And, you know, Doug, I don't know if he gets a pass, but he's the offensive coordinator, really. And he calls the plays. For all intents and purposes, he calls the plays, and Mike Groh's getting a lot of heat for this, I guess, because you look for the change since 2017. Well, what's different? Well, Frank Reich's not here, so let's blame it on Mike Groh. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I don't know. I don't know exactly what Frank Reich did compared to Mike Groh, except I know that Doug Peterson calls the plays. Now, let me just say this about Deuce Staley, and I have to be careful what I say here because I'm not trying to hurt anyone's feelings or if Deuce is listening, make him feel bad. When I worked for Fox, I was there for like 12 years, about 2000, it was in the Super Bowl era. It was approaching the Super Bowl era. It might have been 2002, 2003. I helped produce, Game Day Live, Fox Game Day Live on, at 10 o'clock on Sundays. My job is aside from once in a while, if we needed to going out and getting an interview and cutting this little piece of tape, blah, 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 blah. My job, I produced this segment called, what was our scouting report? We hired two Eagles. We hired Deuce Staley and we hired Troy Vincent to do these scouting reports. I would put together highlights from all the key players on the upcoming opposition. So if the Vikings were in town. I'm talking to Troy Vincent because he's going to scout the other team's offense. I then throw like Kirk Cousins in the mix. I'll throw Adam Thielen, Dalvin Cook, Stephon Diggs. I'll put a tape together and then we'll play the tape for Troy as we're doing this piece. And we had Bill Vargas was our guy at the time. He's across from him. He's doing the interview. Troy's watching the piece. And I also had a projection up behind Bill. So we were kind of, before they came up with some really cool technology on how to edit things. I thought this was like Emmy Award winning stuff I was doing. Turned out it wasn't. Anyway, Troy would come in. Troy, and you'd ask, you would hope they would know something about the opposition to give us some interesting insight on this guy or that guy or, Jeremy Shockey, he's coming in. What does he do as a tight end? What kind of trash does he talk? Blah, 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 blah. Troy knew the color of your shoelace. He knew the inside of your girdle, what was written on it. He knew everything. Troy knew everything about everyone. Everything about everyone. He was phenomenal. What a student. I'm like, this guy, wow, this guy does his homework. And I know everyone loves Troy. He's the greatest guy. I thought it was a pain in the ass. But he was good at what he did. And we calculated. I think those guys made, to do this, they worked for 10 minutes. I think if you prorated it, they made $5,400 an hour. I think they made $900 per 9 minutes. And they were always bitching if the check didn't come in like the exact day it was supposed to come in. These guys making millions of dollars were worried about a $900 check. Both of them thought they should, you know, be ashamed of themselves. But anyway, Deuce would come in. He would have to do the defensive guys of the opposition, you know, and I would put like the Cowboys, Byron Jones, DeMarcus Lawrence, Leighton Vander Esch. I would put together those guys and Deuce would talk about them. Deuce didn't know anybody. I mean, nobody. If he didn't have a roster sitting in front of him, he wouldn't know anybody's name. He wouldn't know their positions. He would say the same thing about everybody. Oh, yeah, Dexter Coakley. He's a playmaker. Playmaker. He knows you around the football. Yeah, he makes plays. He would say that about everyone. So I never really got the impression that Deuce was, one, the hardest working guy in town, and two, I never thought he was, again, this is just me, and I know things have changed, and this was just my impression. I was a lot younger then. I never thought he was the brightest tool in the box, just from, and maybe that's just because he was unprepared and didn't know anything. Now, I did meet him the night before the Super Bowl, the night before the NFC title game in Arizona when they lost to the Cardinals. I did a sit down with him. He was a completely different guy. This was 5 years later. I sat down with him. He didn't remember me, of course. He doesn't know anybody. And he was completely different the way he spoke, his articulation, his philosophies. He seemed extremely mature compared to what he was. And he seemed like he knew what was up. And to me, the change, the transformation from what I saw at Deuce Daly in 2004 to 2009 was mind-boggling. So I'm just saying my first impression of him and the most recent impression of I had of him were vastly different, and maybe he can be the offensive coordinator. But from what I saw, I don't know if I'd put him in charge of my offense. That's just me, Connor. I mean, you know, I know you want to go outside, and if they stayed inside, what would you think of Deuce?
I wouldn't hate him as far as prospects inside the organization. He's probably your best shot with guys that you have in-house. He's a guy very familiar with the city, the fan base, the organization. He's got a great relationship with Doug. He's been there for pretty much his whole tenure. So if you're taking someone from inside, I could definitely see that as a move. But just like you said, I just worry about his ability to run the offense as a whole. When you look at the running back position, it's not as cerebral as, say, a center or a quarterback. So when you look at that guy taking over the entirety of an offense, I know he's been around the coaching staff for a while, but I wonder, especially hearing that story from you, how cerebrally competent he is to run an entire offense at an elite level.
That's a great point. You have to be, you know, I hear people all the time, he's an idiot, he's stupid, he's a moron. These guys are extremely bright. All of them, even the bad ones, are extremely bright. You don't know how, you know, Connor, how hard it is to, master a playbook. Remember, your players are trying to learn the playbook. You're supposed to know every play, every one, and variations thereof. I mean, you have to be incredibly bright, incredibly competent to be a coordinator, especially the offensive and defensive coordinator of this team. So, job's still open if you want to apply. He's Connor Thomas, producing Behind the Glass. I'm Joe Stazak. Pardon my laryngitis. I'm almost done. I'm here till 6 o'clock when D-Line and Devon Givens take over. And Drew, I know you're hanging in there, pal. I'll get you right on the other side, I promise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Joe Stazak, 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back to the show. Hey, the holiday gift-giving season is over, but the Fanatic Bro Shop is open for business. Now that you are finished buying gifts for everyone else, it's time to buy something for you. Quality Fanatic and Philadelphia sports-themed merchandise and apparel at discount prices. The Fanatic Pro Shop can be found at 97.5 thefanatic.com. Winding it down, D-line them. And Devon Gibbons coming up, taking you right up to Sixers basketball. Sixers and Mavericks heard right here on 97.5. The Fanatic, 610-632-0975. I'm going to throw this question out one more time. And Connor, I know, will remind me because I'll forget to give the final tallies of this Twitter poll. The question is, how would you characterize this Eagles season? A, mildly stimulating. B, entertaining. 3, gratifying. Or 4, unwatchable. Those are your four choices. Chime in now on our Twitter page at 975 The Fanatic. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Drew's been hanging around. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Drew?
Hey, what's going on, big dog?
Boy, man.
How are you, dude? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, pal.
That's good, man. So, yeah, I'm kind of like right in between the fence there of mildly stimulating and actually gratifying. Just because of the way the season went, from the beginning of the season, we had such high expectations. And then as the season progressed, you know, guys started going down, guys started underachieving, you know, things happened. And it took us till the end to fight for our lives, to get into the playoffs, to win the division. So that's where I come into the gratifying attitude, you know, just because of, based upon how things went throughout the season. It was stimulating at times, but in the end, I was gratified that we fought so hard and did the best we could to do what we did.
Yeah, see, I'm with you. It's kind of what you just said, the best we could with what we had. You know, that's
right.
With what they had, that's pretty impressive. That's really impressive from what they had to make the playoffs.
Yeah, because, I mean, you think about it, Joe. I mean, they were hit every week with a different adversity, whether it be
every week.
Running back, a wide receiver,
every
a defensive
week.
Player.
And then finally a quarterback goes down.
Right, and then, you know, it's made complete sense for the one guy who was, you know, stable the whole year for the last
totally.
Game.
It was totally the coup de grace.
Yep, so that was my thoughts on the season. You know, I feel just like it was a cheated season, really, in the end, that we just didn't get to see the full potential of this team. And
yeah, you're right. I agree.
And that's kind of how it goes, though. But, you know, it is what it is, and so we root for whoever we root for now. I don't even know who we root for.
Yeah, I don't know. Frisco just took they're leading 14-10 over the Vikings. I don't have a rooting interest, really. I like Russell Wilson. I might root for the Seahawks. I like Russell Wilson.
Yeah, I think they were my
favorite. I like Kirk Cousins, too, but I don't really like Minnesota, but I like Kirk Cousins. Who do you like?
Yeah, I'll go Seattle. They were kind of my dark horse at the beginning of the season. I thought they had some potential, and they've fought adversity as well as we have. So I'll give them throw them a bone.
All right, I will too. Drew, I appreciate it, man. Happy holidays to you. Happy New Year a little late. Merry Christmas a little later. Yeah, I'd probably go Seattle here. Who are you rooting for? We could have done that in the show, but AFC, I'd probably root for. Yeah, this is tough. Because I was never a big Andy Reid fan, but I love Patrick Mahomes, I love Steve Spagnuolo, so I would want to root for the Chiefs. That's why I was torn last year. You root for the Chiefs or the Patriots? You know, it's the lesser of two. Not that I want Andy Reid to be denied his championship. I just never thought he was good enough to win it. I was always frustrated with him here, not getting the right pieces, thinking his receivers were good enough. Just not being able to finish games. You know, very, very, very good play designer, an excellent, excellent quarterback coach, excellent offensive coordinator. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's time to make my peace with Andy Reid. I'm not sure. I like, you know, no one likes a grudge better than me. So I may hold on to it for a little bit and root for the Rave, maybe. I like Lamar Jackson. Don't like that organization, though. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Right now, I'm rooting for Seattle. Let's go to Chris and Penn Salkin. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
What's up, my friend?
How are you, man?
I got to go San Fran in the NFC.
That's who you're rooting for, or you think they're going to win?
That's who I'm rooting for, and I'm hoping they're going to win. And the AFC, I got to go with John Harbaugh, man. Everybody laughed at him when they at the beginning of the year. He said, "You watch this kid come out and sling the ball all over the place."
They, like, they did. Incredible. You're right.
And he slung it up. He said, "Oh yeah."
He said, "Okay."
This. She said, in your face, she said, hey, you ain't got no man.
What an unbelievable year the kid had.
Because I didn't think that kid was going to fit. You know me, I'm a grown man. I'll tell you, when I make a mistake, I looked at that kid. I said, that's the same kid from the year before where he couldn't do a 10-yard out.
Couldn't do a 10-yard out.
Nah, man. I don't know. Whoever's teaching them, they're doing well.
36 touchdowns this year, only 6 picks.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
As far as the OCs, I'm with Connor, man. I don't know because of something about his health or something, but if he's healthy, I'm going out and getting Caldwell. I'm taking a private jet. I'm going to get him. Every quarterback he improves, Peyton, Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco's actually at my kid's school today at their basketball game.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, hanging out.
He's hurt. Is he all right? Is he 100%?
Who, Joe Flacco?
Yeah, I think he banged up his knee or something.
He looks great. He's playing with the kids and all. He was walking around fine.
He's a good dude.
But if I can't find him, if I can't go and get him, here I want not Matt, because he's the Packers coach. Everybody's like, no, you're talking about Matt. No, I'm not. I'm talking to his brother, Mike LaFleur. He's the passing coordinator for the 49ers, like fourth on the totem pole. I love the 49ers offense. Carson Wentz would thrive in that offense so much.
Under Kyle Shanahan, it's hard not to thrive. Kyle Shanahan's like the best offensive coordinator on the planet right now.
Right. I would grab him in a hurry because, like I said, he's not listed as a coordinator. He's some passing specialist. If you Google him up. And I just love the way they have like little wrinkles. They'll throw a trick play. They'll do a doink. Then they'll throw a 40-yard bomb. I just love it. I would grab the kid in a heartbeat. And if I can't get him, I'm going to LSU, man. I'm going Joe Brady.
Okay.
I'm going to get Brady out of LSU. And I love
going college ranks. I'm going college ranks.
Do you see that LSU offense, man? It's crazy. Yes. Watch Monday night. It's sick.
You like him over Clemson?
Yeah, man. That kid's just a stud. And it's a shame because he's going to wind up in Cincinnati, right? That's where careers go to die.
That's such a shame. If he ends up in Cincinnati, oof.
If he winds up there, you might as well say you want one in the head or six in the chest.
Right.
The owner, he don't even come after us. He doesn't sign Devon. He don't sign you. He don't sign me. I don't even know how they let him own a team. That's just disrespectful. And I love Deuce, and I know you got to jump. He's a great guy, and I'm not picking on him. He does exactly what he does now. Great. He's great with running backs coach. He's great as a leader. He's great as a motivator on the sideline. He's looking at the eyes. He's talking to players. He does nothing at all, Googled up, with the passing concept. So how can he be the offense coordinator, man?
I'm with you on that, bro.
Drink a lager on me. Get some syrup. Go Birds.
All right, go Birds. Go Chris. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Chris from Penn Salkin. Always a great call. Always a great call. Doesn't like Deuce to advance. I'm cool with Deuce where he is. I think he's done a great job with the running backs. Sometimes there's no rhyme or reason to it. A little more rhyme or reason this year because guys were falling like flies. But when there was a healthy slew, you never knew who was getting the ball. Darren Sproles started the year getting like 9, 10, 11 carries in the first game. Jordan Howard, Zippo. Couldn't really figure it out. 14-10 Niners over the Vikings right now. They are at the half. We'll get to see Lamar Jackson tonight against Tennessee. In the second game when the Ravens go at the Titans. All right, we got to go already? Wow, Connor Thomas, great job behind the glass. Let's get a final. See, I almost forgot. Final Twitter poll tally. What do you got, Connor?
All right, so we're staying pretty much where we had it before. Leading the way is mildly stimulating at 51.6%, our big winner. In second place is entertaining at 25.4%. Finishing in third, which is surprising me, I'm sure it'll surprise you, unwatchable. Wow. I didn't feel like it was unwatchable at all, but that garnered 12.5% of the vote, and then gratifying bringing up the rear with 10.4%.
That's amazing. I thought gratifying would be up near the top. How many votes?
We got a total of 279 votes on this. Thanks very much for voting.
Yeah, appreciate everyone for doing that, and appreciate everyone for listening today. Steve Callis coming on at 3:40. Connor Thomas doing a great job behind the glass. Devon Givens, D-Line, I'm up next, taking you right up to 8:30 or 8:20 actually for Sixers pregame as they are at Dallas tonight to take on the Mavericks. I'm Joe Stajak. I will be here tomorrow at 5 o'clock. I'll talk to you then. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.